You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
Can you open your Bibles to Matthew 28, please? Matthew 28. And with that, we come to our final message in our 5G Life series. And I want to remind us that this series is specifically designed to do a few things. Number one, it's designed to help us see maximum fruitfulness for Christ in our lives. That's a good thing. It's a very good thing. This series is designed to help you fully belong in this church, Hope Oakville. If this is a church you intend to make your home, we hope that's a good thing as well. And this series is designed to help you know the path of God's blessing. I want you to be reminded of that too. When you pursue the 5G life, you're pursuing God's will, which is unveiled in God's word, of course, and that is God's blessing. Okay, so as we do this, this is the blessing of God belonging fully to this church and to see maximum fruitfulness in your life. That, to me, that's a good deal. That's a good plan. And we're praying that many of us are also seeing it as a good plan as well. Just to remind us, because this will be like our last time to go through this in a little bit, the 5G Life is our discipleship pathway, obviously, here at Hope Oakville as well. This is how we follow Jesus at Hope. We're trying to make it as clear as we can, and so you can see and be able to follow and to obey, Lord willing, as well. So we've shown this each week as we've gone on, so here we go. Our 5Gs, again, maybe for those who need the reminder, and we're moving through God time, gather time, group time, give time, and then, of course, today, go time as well. Go time we define as time spent weekly, you could say daily, weekly, and annually, seeing the gospel spread, yes, locally, and globally. Go time is not just globally. That is awesome, 100%. That's wonderful. But it's also locally and in our individual lives, our communities, our province, our nation, of course, as well. So go time is a mindset and it is a lifestyle. Our thesis today for go time is essentially that go time is an essential mindset and a daily expectation for every Christ follower. I want to say that again. A go time is an essential mindset and daily expectation for every Christ follower. We're going to see today when it comes to going and making disciples of all nations, the command is crystal clear, the opportunity is massive, and the help of Christ is guaranteed. So we have every reason to have confidence, again, as we are sent to go, therefore, and make disciples again, of all nations. Matthew 28, you know these verses well, but they do not get old. Let's start at verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. All right, so good, so needed. So here we go, go time. Notice this, first of all, loved ones. Number one, we are all called to go. We are all called to go. Another way to say this is this, go time is our time. Collectively, as a church, as a body of Christ, go time, not just for a few, not just for a few kind of missionaries, you know, that we support and pray for, it's so good and so needed. Go time is our time collectively. As Jesus commanded his disciples here, he also commanded his followers for all time. I want you to see that, recognize that, and receive that. That's why we're going through this passage right now, all these hundreds and hundreds of years later. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I believe the most important word in our passage today and for our context is found in the word go. You should underline that, circle that, highlight that, do something with that. That's the most important word in our text today. Loved ones, we are called. Listen, we are commanded by Jesus, the risen Savior, awesome God, the Son of God, again, the ruler of the universe. We are commanded to go. And so that's why, again, here's one of our bottom lines for today. Go time's not optional. There's no one here who has a pass. Every person alive in Jesus Christ, go time is for you and go time is for me. It's the true Christ follower. We know that we are called by Jesus. We are the salt of the earth. We are to go out and to see our lives permeate again the culture that we live in, seeking to again delay the decay of the earth, to be salt, to preserve that. We are also called by Jesus. We are literally called as his followers the light of the world. Jesus is the ultimate perfect light of the world. His followers are called to represent him, to also shine light in the darkness. We are the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. I mean, these are fundamental, powerful, astounding truths and theological realities of our lives right now. And so as we sit and maybe just take that in, salt of the earth, Jesus said, light of the world, temples of the Holy Spirit, again, a theological truth and reality, we must renew our minds in what is true every day, okay? We have this message within us, the message of Jesus Christ, the message that is used to bring people from death to life. Look at Acts 28, verse 18 on the screen for you right now. Here's what, again, Paul said that God said to him as far as when he was commissioned, again, by the Lord. Paul was sent, Paul, to open their eyes. They may turn from darkness to light. Wow. From the power of Satan to God. Wow, that sounds like a big deal. And it is. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. That sounds like a pretty big deal. And a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. By faith in me. Just notice, this is the message that we have as Christ followers. We are to go out, we are sent, and the message we proclaim today, and the message we proclaim with our lives individually, and yes, again, officially organized on missions, we are proclaiming a message that literally is used to bring people from death to life, from the power of Satan to God. They may receive forgiveness from their sins, again, for all time, and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. Just a little bit of a big deal, amen? Amen? Again, this is what we have to remind ourselves of all the time. This is the message we are servants to. That's what when Paul was commissioned, Acts 26, by God, he says, Paul, I have appointed you for this purpose. You are a servant of me now. I have changed your life radically to cause you to go from death to life, and now I'm commissioning you to go and proclaim this message as a witness to the reality of the power and the truth of Jesus Christ. And one way or another, that's all of us who are alive in Jesus. All of us have been commissioned in one way or another with this message. And just think too, right? In this world that we live in all the ways we use our time, there's no message more powerful, no truth more transformational, no opportunity more eternal. We got to keep reminding ourselves of these truths because it's encouraging and it's powerful. We are called to go. We are commissioned by Jesus himself to go. Now, notice this in our text too. Technically, we are not called to go, therefore, make Christians. Okay, technically, it's not what it says. We are called, go therefore, and make disciples. And I totally agree with that. I mean, we're not just called to see people saved. We're called to see people discipled, to be disciples, full, grown, mature disciples in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we also know this, we have to go before we make anything. If we don't go, nothing will be made. So we are called to go. But let's ask the obvious question right now, because it's easy to say, let's go. But here's what we know, the reality of us maybe have a hard time going and making disciples. So the question I want to ask is, why don't more people go, therefore, and make disciples? Why are so many people so hesitant, afraid, or whatever it might be, to go, therefore, and make disciples? We got a few reasons on the screen for you here. Why don't people go? Well, number one, ignorance. Some of you here today, you're like, what, me? You mean I'm supposed to go too? Yes. Yes, go time is for you, 100% of you are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just for pastor up here, not just for some elders or our missions department, whatever it might be. All of us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ are called to go, therefore, and make disciples in one way or another. Again, you need to accept that. I need to accept that today, okay? Everyone here alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's speaking to you today in love. He loves you. He's filled you with his Holy Spirit. He's a message he wants to bear through your life. What, me? Yes, you. Yes, you. Me? Yes. Robbie? Yes. You? Yes. Yes. We are all called to go and therefore make disciples. Ignorance is one of the first reasons. Insecurity, this is a big one. I'm really, really praying hard for today as I'm praying for my own life too. Many people, we have a greater fear of man than we do the fear of God. And And so we go into situations, especially in the day we live in now with the hostility of the gospel. Trust me, I feel it too. I get it. And so what we allow our fear of what people will think or the way we'll be treated or maybe we'll be, you know, put off to this, whatever it might be, our fear of man is greater than the fear of God. Those who are most used of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not feel insecure. We're going to see this today as Jesus reminds us again of his promises to us. We will not be insecure in ourselves. We will be secure in the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think though, today's important that we admit and confess, Lord, often I have a greater fear of man than I do of you. And therefore, I do not pursue go time. It's just important that we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us, and then we're ready to be used again in a fresh and exciting way. This is a big one for us right now. I am praying. I feel faith growing in me. And a sense of confidence, not in self, but in Christ. I pray all of us will take God at his word today as we do that. Thirdly here, notice this, indifference. This is another thing we have to admit if this is where we are. The reality is we have our lives, we're comfortable, we have Jesus Christ, we're good, and we don't really care about the neighbor down the street. We're honest, we just don't care. Because we don't say anything, we don't do anything, we don't pray. We have our lives, we have our comfort, we have our pursuit. We're going down the road. We're happy in Jesus Christ. And but it comes to the lost. In some ways, we have to admit too. Some of us, we look back and we're like judging others and kind of wishing judgment on them because of the wickedness and evil. God forgive us. So we have to admit this too. If we have indifference in our lives, there's something wrong with our hearts. And trust me, I'm tempted at times. To just be like, well, man, it's, you know, why bother? It's so hard, whatever it is. But we have to admit if our hearts have been callous to the reality of the lost around us, that's a problem. Jesus is with the broken and hurting and those who are lost, Jesus says, and we need to be where Jesus is. So if we're this, we have to repent of that as well. Lastly, fourth eye is just, let's just admit it's inconvenient. The reason go time is not a priority in our lives is because it's not convenient for us. We're too busy with self. Our calendars are filled with our own agendas, our own desires, our own pursuits, our own pleasure, our own leisure, our own hobbies, our own kids, whatever it might be. And it's just not convenient. It just doesn't fit into the schedule. And so again, it's really important for us to just be honest of where we find ourselves today because none of these are good enough excuses. None. And it's really important to actually be saying, Lord, I actually have been pursuing some of these things in my own, whatever it might be, and God forgive us, and he will, and he does. I just want you to notice in Matthew 18, you know, verse 19, the Great Commission doesn't come with any exception clauses. It's not go unless you're too busy, or go or you don't unless you don't feel prepared, or go unless you don't know enough. No, none of that's here. Jesus says, I'm going to make up the difference, people. And Jesus is pretty awesome. Rather, Jesus says, go. Go make disciples. Remember too, when we get our context, I always love to live in the text. You know that. We try to live in the text. So here's Jesus, his 11 disciples, and he makes this pronouncement to them. Like they have no idea really what's going to happen at this point. You know, Jesus raised from the dead, blown away by that, and they're just in awe and wonder. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all to observe all I've taught you. And they're sitting there, and they're like, wait, talking about what? What did he say? Go make disciples of what nations? Of all nations. I mean, they had to have been sitting there going like, how's that going to work? You know what I mean? So Jesus, you're going to lead the way, right? You're going to do everything for us. We're going to kind of follow along. We have these last 3 years, and we're going to watch you do miracles and just kind of somehow change the whole world. He's like, actually, I'm going to leave you. But I won't leave you as orphans, but you're going to be used, and you'll be filled by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to make disciples of all nations. They had to have been like, okay, I'm not really sure about this, right? I mean, they had to have been like, how is this actually going to work? And they must have felt a bit of wonder, amazement, insecurity. They must have felt a bit of like, how in the world is this going to happen? But they were a bunch of nobodies who would be used to turn the world upside down. They will be filled again and dwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the world would never be the same again. It was from these 11, again, originally, started out, and here we are, 2,000 years later, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people filling this nation in love with Jesus Christ. Amen, church? That is awesome because God is true to his promises. And so he looks at them and he's like, I know you don't have it. He's like, but I do. And I'm going to share, again, what I have with you. And that's how this is going to work. But you listen, hey, disciples, you got to go. You got to go. You got to believe. You got to believe in what I'm telling you. Go time then, again, it's a mindset, a lifestyle, a calling. We got to see ourselves on mission. This is so important, man. We got to pray ourselves into this. It won't happen by trying harder. We need the Lord so much, as we'll see as we go on as well. We are on mission again, wherever we are, as the light of the world, as we've heard, and the salt of the earth. We have to believe God has placed us with purpose wherever we are, wherever we are. Every single one of us, church. I'm praying more and more that I see that within my own life. And just having the boldness of the Holy Spirit to take chances by faith to speak of Christ. This is the power of the 5G life, right? When we have God time and gather time and group time and give time and we're growing up in that tree, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves filled with the Spirit of God, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, say something in this moment, and we do because we are filled with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we step out in faith as opposed to cowering again in shame. Now, is this world intimidating? It is. Is the world where we live hostile to the gospel? It is. Is the world increasing in darkness? It is. But is Jesus Christ building his church? He is. And so all of us, again, precisely placed with purpose where we are. Listen, home, workplace, neighborhood, club, sports team, appointments, like of any kind, travel, everything can be used to spread the message of the Lord Jesus Christ in wherever we find ourselves. I've been encouraged. My wife Jill and I, in the last two weeks, we found multiple opportunities to share Christ. Some of them have been really surprising. I love coaching. I spend part of my free time investing in that. I really get a lot of it personally, but it's also a wonderful way for me to get out of the bubble of the Christian church. I'm, you know, obviously in the church so much, and so it's a wonderful way to me to get outside of that. And even like just this week, man, I had a parent come up to me, and he's like, hey, I saw you on Twitter. And I was like, what? And I'm like, I'm not really on Twitter, so I don't really know what he's talking about. I guess it was like a preaching clip from our church or something like that. And I was like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, and he wasn't totally turned off by it. I'm like, okay, good, this is good, you know. So, and he starts to go into this. We had this conversation. We're sitting for a practice. We had a 10-minute conversation about faith. And he has a Orthodox background. It's really interesting, man. The guy's a sweet, sweet man, and it was so interesting too. We're going along, and I just like, I'd like to ask people again, what do you believe about what's going to happen after death? Like, what do you honestly believe? And he was kind of saying some stuff, and then he turned to me. He says, well, what do you believe? Here we go. Here we go, right? So I did my best in that moment to just articulate what I think is the gospel in a winsome way, and Jesus Christ, and I'm going to follow up, and we exchanged text messages even yesterday from that. I'm going to give him a resource and just really excited. It's just that's exactly what I'm looking for more of. And they say, hey, I just want to admit, I need more faith. Like, I have more opportunities that I don't always take. You know, because sometimes you're just so tired, or sometimes you're just whatever. But just like me, the Lord, I was so encouraged. My wife this week, talking to Jill, and she had opportunities that were unexpected of specific sharing the gospel with people. There's so many people out there, loved ones. There's so many people that are desperately desiring to hear the message of truth. And we all have to believe that. Don't let a rejection or two think that that's everyone in the world. It's not. There's so many people that are longing to hear, again, the truth and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be ready to do so when the Lord asks us to do so. One of the things I'd love to say too, and just for me, an application is, who are the five people you're praying for to be saved right now? Who are the five people you're praying for on a daily basis to be saved right now? I have my five. You need to have your five, okay? You need to have five people. If you want to make it 10, go for it. But at least have five. Five people you're praying for, not praying for like a day and you give up or a week and give up. No, five people you're praying for, and you're expecting the Lord to work. Like, do you think the Lord wants to save people? The Bible tells us that he does. And so we need to be actively moving with faith to believe if God puts these five people on your heart, it's because he wants to move. Now, his timing is his timing. But again, we are encouraged. Who are the five people you're praying for right now? That God would present supernatural appointments for you and that you would take. I want to say this too, just as an encouragement. I've had for a couple of years now, there's a man, a friend of my life, again, I spend time with, again, in kind of the sports scene. He's been on my heart for multiple years. And I believe, just don't take this too mystically, okay? But I have a picture and a vision in my mind and heart over a period of a couple of years of him falling down on his knees in repentance, giving his life to Jesus Christ here at this church. And I just, like, I had it, like, 2 years ago, whatever, and then it came back, like, even, like, 2 weeks ago. And I just, like, for me, it fills my life with faith to say, Lord, I believe you are working in this individual. And I'm going to pray and pray and pray that you will give me the opportunities to shine the light of Jesus Christ. And I have a true love for this individual. And I'm praying Jesus just saves his soul. And that fills me with faith to say the Lord is working. What's your example? What's your example as we are called to go locally and globally, again, with a mindset of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ change lives forever? Supernatural appointments, eh? We love that in this church too, praying for supernatural appointments the Lord gives us. We're saying this is so of the Lord. God, help us in this. Listen, we are all called to go. Secondly, our outline kind of is a sentence here today, but we go in Christ's power. We go in Christ's power. So verse 19, notice verse 19. Jesus says, go therefore. So when you're studying scripture, many of you know this, when you see therefore, right? When you see therefore, that's referring back to something that was just said. So whatever is about to be said next, which is the Great Commission, right? Go therefore, and then comes the Great Commission, is predicated upon what the therefore is there for. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, and like, well, what came before verse 19? Well, that's verse 18. So look at verse 18. This is what the therefore points to. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Wow. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Given to Jesus Christ. I just want to say that again, okay, just in case you didn't get it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus Christ. Not some authority, not most authority, all authority in heaven and on earth. The entire universe has been given to Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is Lord and ruler of the universe. He holds all authority. I want to keep saying that, okay, because I want you to believe it. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ commissions his church to go make disciples of all nations in the authority of the King of the universe. Jesus does not say, hey, go therefore make disciples and do your best, give it your best shot, and good luck with that. He doesn't say that. He says, all authority has been given to me. Go therefore in the light and the power of that promise and make disciples, because my authority is undergirding my church. Because my authority cannot be stopped. Jesus Christ holds the authority in the entire universe. Jesus Christ is the giver of life. Jesus Christ holds the keys to death and Hades. Jesus Christ, as we sang today, is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus Christ is the great I am. Jesus Christ is unstoppable. Jesus Christ is absolutely awesome. He is the bright and morning star. He's the firstborn over all creation. Again, there is no one like him. Jesus rocks. Jesus is the best. Jesus Christ holds all authority. And Jesus says to you and me today, go therefore make disciples. Amen. I clap for that too. But often what happens is when it comes to the Great Commission, we forget what surrounds it. Jesus does. Jesus entirely surrounds the Great Commission. We'll see that more as we go through today as well. Do you know what's recently been reported in recent years that the church in Iran is the fastest growing church in the world? Do you know, in 1994, it was reported that 100,000 Christians were in Iran. 1994, 100,000 Christians. By 2020, there were reported to be 3 million Christians in Iran, which is illegal to be so. Again, bless our brothers and sisters in the nation of Iran who are following Jesus Christ at the cost of their lives, how the Lord is moving. Do you know it's reported that there are more Christians now in China than members in the Communist Party? Here are some further stats, too. This is not at all taking away the over 2 billion people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ again in our world currently. But it's also encouraging to say the Lord is not sitting still doing nothing. The Center of the Study of Global Christianity at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary recently reported that global Christianity is experiencing remarkable growth, defying expectations and surpassing population rates. Contrary to the anticipated slowdown, the Christian population is projected to climb from over 2.5 billion to 2.6 billion, representing a 1.08% growth, and it's expected to surpass 3 billion by 2050. The growth of Christianity is particularly pronounced in the global south, Africa, Asia emerging as the fastest growing regions. Africa in particular has undergone a remarkable transformation, evolving from having less than 10 million Christians at the turn of the 20th century to now being home to 734 million Christians, growing at a rate of 2.64% each year. By 2050, Africa is projected to host more Christians than Asia and Latin America combined. Okay, I want to read those stats to encourage you. To encourage you with what specifically? This: Jesus is not done saving. He's just not done saving. He does whatever he wants, however he wants, again, with whoever he wants. And listen. Jesus is not done saving people in Canada either. That was a good spot for an amen. Okay? Like, he is not done saving people in our nation. Now, yes, there is opposition. Yes, there is desperation. Jesus is with the hurting and the lost. We must also be with the hurting and the lost. But you object, or you and I object. But what about the school boards? Jesus' answer is, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. What about the politicians hostile to the gospel? Jesus' answer is, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. What about the changing laws that are coming against the church? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. What about DEI implementation at work? You know the answer. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. What about the rise of secularism in our nation and religious diversity all over the place? Jesus says, I'm not worried. Again, just remind yourselves of these things. God is not up in heaven saying, oh no, the government's changing laws against, you know, my gospel, whatever. Oh no, these politicians are moving and they're trying to thwart my plans. Oh no, DEI implementation at work is going to ruin my church forever. You think God's saying that, honestly? Didn't he's up in heaven, you know, biting his nails and pacing around, it's like, oh, they figured me out, you know? No. He's not stressed for one millisecond about the things we worry about all the time. Jesus Christ says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the only thing he says now is, who's with me? Who's with me? Like, that's what he's saying. And we, by faith, have to continually rise up and say, it's going to cost, but it's going to be awesome. It's going to hurt, but I'm in. Again, like Peter turning to Jesus when Jesus gave hard teachings and most of his disciples walked away from him. And Jesus says, will you go away too? And Peter's like, Lord, we have no other options. You hold the words of eternal life. Where else would we go? Like, that's us. What are our options? Joining the culture into a pathway to misery and destruction? No thanks. Sticking with Jesus. God help us. God help us sticking with Jesus. Because Jesus holds all authority in heaven and on earth. And by the way, have faith too. Again, when the disciples received this commission, they had 0 years of history in terms of proof of the church being built through Jesus Christ. And yet they were used in unbelievable ways. We have 2,000 years of proof. Can I just remind you of that? We have 2,000 years of historical proof of how Jesus is true to his promises and he will build his church no matter who comes against it and what government tries to stop it and who tries to thwart again his plans. We have 2,000 years of absolute historical proof that Jesus is true to what he says. So we have all the more reason now to have as much faith as ever to say he's not done. And Jesus Christ, again, is not yet returned because he's not done saving people. He's always working. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Right? He's always working, church. He's always working. If all you do is fix your eyes on the school boards, Or all you do is fix your eyes on the, you know, the direction of the government or whatever it is. Well, then that's going to be discouraging. You fix your eyes on Jesus and all of a sudden, like today, eyes on Jesus. And you're like, wow, wait a second, he might have something to say about this. Yeah, he does, because he's awesome. And he loves saving people for his glory. And he will continue to save people for his glory. So he's always working. He's always working. The question is, do we want to join him? That's the question. Do we want to join where he's working? I'll say it one more time, okay? Because I need you to increase in faith in the Lord. He's always working. Always working. No matter what happening, what you see, what headlines, he's always working. So the question is, are we going to join him where he is working? What does that require? Faith. Faith. And so therefore, again, my faith grows this week in this text, and my expectation grows too. My expectation grows that the Lord is saying to us, he's like, hey, I'm saving people across this world, every nation, and I'm saving people in Canada as well. It's go time. It's go time. We are all called to go. We go in Christ's power, thirdly, finally, and we go with Christ's promised presence. So look at the end of verse 20 now. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, I've always loved this, okay? So we've taught this in the past. We've got to keep teaching it as well. Notice with the Great Commission, notice the bookends. Often we focus on verse 19, and we should. It's wonderful. But we got to, okay, let's go do verse 19. Let's rally the troops and try hard, and let's go do verse 19. Time out. Verse 19 by itself, we're in trouble if it's just verse 19. Because notice, the promise of his power, all authority, comes before the Great Commission, one bookend, and his presence, his promise, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a pretty good promise, amen, church? I mean, I would take that to the bank if I were you. So the great, verse 19, but we're like, verse 18, verse 20, that changes everything within verse 19. All of a sudden, the Great Commission is like, whoa, man, we got some people on our side here, right? Like, hey, let's huddle up. Okay, here's the play. Verse 19, Great Commission. Ready, but you're in the huddle, and Jesus is like, let's go, team. All authority, and I'm with you always, my presence. Ready, breaker. Like, this is going to be great, right? I mean, like we're going to succeed because we have the ruler of the universe on our team. He's like, yep, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And look at how clear he is with us. He's like, hey, man, I have all authority, and I'm with you always. Just in case you doubt it, to the end of the age. That's a long time. That's a long time. I'm with you always. Not just with you, I'm with you always. Not just with you always, I'm with you always. Again, just in case you're doubting, to the end of the age. I want you to know that promise at the end of verse 20 has spurred on, that promise alone has spurred on more go time than you can imagine over the centuries. Men and women taking Jesus Christ at his word. You promise to go with us, always, and they go. Why is this truth so powerful? Well, you know, because if God is for us, who can be against us? We have the power of Christ, the presence of Christ. And so really, in some ways, when we look at this with eyes of faith, we're like, well, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. With you always, end of the age. You should circle that, underline that, highlight that. That includes us and loved ones. That includes now. That includes right now. All in the context of the Great Commission. This is the promise of go time. Think about it. His presence. What does his presence guarantee? His presence guarantees protection. We are secured in Christ. We cannot lose. We can't be lost. Even if we die, we win. Because whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. His presence means power. Power in his church, his work, his will, his strength. His presence means peace. When you believe in the promises of, you know, verse 18 and verse 20 here surrounding the Great Commission, you are intimately aware of his sovereign reign, his authority, his unfailing love. And that equals peace. Again, this has been the promise that has spurred on more missionaries than we can imagine and more go time than we can even count. John G. Payton was an incredible missionary to cannibals. He gave up so much, and he was constantly trying to be hunted down and murdered. If you haven't read a biography on John G. Payton, John Piper has a brilliant one. It's short. It's incredibly encouraging. He says this about the promise of verse 20. He says, without that abiding consciousness of the presence and power of my dear Lord and Savior, nothing else in all the world could have preserved me from losing my reason and perishing miserable. In Christ's word, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That promise became so real to me, Peyton says, that it would not have startled me to behold him as Stephen did, gazing down upon the scene. I felt his supporting power. It is the sober truth, and it comes back to me sweetly after 20 years, that I had my nearest and dearest glimpses of the face and smiles of my blessed Lord in those dread moments when musket, club, or spear was being leveled at my life. Oh, the bliss of living and enduring and seeing, quote, him who is invisible. The more we go, the more we see just how much he is with us. At a cost, with such reward. Including suffering, with such powerful presence of God. And I want you to make sure we know that it's not all roses, man. It's not easy street. There's a guaranteed cost and denial of self and giving up. But then we are beholding the power, the presence of the promises of Jesus Christ. So, loved ones, we are commanded to go to our families, neighbors, communities, workplaces, our nation, our world, because we have Jesus' command and Jesus' promises. Again, I've said this already a number of times. I just want to be so clear. Go time is not just contained in a one-year missions trip. That is wonderfully awesome. Do it. But go time is so much more than that. Go time is a weekly, daily mindset of expecting to be used where you are in the strength and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, with grace and with love and with humility, but with faith and with boldness for the gospel as well. Again, say it again. Will there be a cost? Absolutely. Will there be joy? Absolutely. Will there be a reward? Yeah, you better believe it. So if I'm to truly follow Christ, I must share. I must go. Oh, may the Spirit of God begin a fresh work of love within us. Right? That's what it comes down to, too, right? May the Spirit of God give us a greater love for the lost than for ourselves. May the Spirit of God give us a greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has commissioned us to do. Question for you right now, just again, one of the bottom lines for our message today. Basic question, very important question. Are you going right now? Are you pursuing go time in your life right now? And again, I'm praying that our faith will increase of the Lord's promises and expectation of how he wants to use each of us. Who is in your life right now that God has placed you there that you might love and speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? One of the questions I asked this week too, I was speaking with, I said, hey, are you a reader? Are you a reader? Because like, you know, in that conversation, we had 10 minutes, but then things start to, you have to go and you have to start practice, whatever. And he's like, yeah, kind of, whatever. And I said, well, and then I went up and I ordered a resource, one, More Than a Carpenter, Josh McDowell. Very, very classic. I looked it up too, just like, what are the, you know, and I'm getting Gospel of John and More Than a Carpenter. And I, you know, this week, and there's two people I want to do that with. And just say, hey, would you commit to reading this? And I'd love to answer questions that you have with this as well. Just as a way to sit there and say, if you're serious about this and the Lord is working, then just different ways that we can be used to see, again, seeds planted and maybe actual conversations of power and truth that can be there as well. So many different things we can do. So many different ways that we can be used. God help us, I pray, to be so intentional as we do that as well. Is go time a part of our lives? It needs to be. Lord, increase our faith. Amen. Increase our faith. So just one more time, here's our 5G life slide. Let's put that up. Do we have that here at the end? Again, I want to remind you, this is the will of God because it's so based on Scripture, and the will of God is the blessing of God. God time, gather time, group time, give time, go time. This is what we do at Hope Oakville. This is how we are used. This is how we grow in Christ. This is what the Lord will use to bear so much fruit through our lives as well. God help us in that. Plan is clear, the purpose is powerful, the pathway is set. Hey, we started this series 5 weeks ago, and I said from the very beginning, the elders have an agenda for this series. Absolutely, we do. Unapologetically. Our agenda is less spectating, more participating. We want to see less people just sitting watching, more people jumping into the game, whatever that means, again, with the 5 G's, and we are praying that is happening. So, Lord, lead us. I think it's only fitting, too, just as we've got a couple minutes here. I want to take 2 minutes right now. I want to turn this into a prayer meeting, okay? Don't be nervous. Don't leave, okay? If you feel more comfortable praying by yourself silently, do it. But if you are able to, I'd love to hear the voices of God's people praying in twos or threes, whatever it might be. Let's put that prayer slide up. Very simple. We're going to take 2 minutes before we respond with our last song, okay? Lord, we pray. We pray for more go time in all of us. We pray for an increasing faith of what God will do in all of us. We pray for more disciples to be made through our lives in this church. And Lord, we pray for more obedience to the 5G life. So in groups of two or three, we pray out loud. Let's seek the Lord. We'll pray for 2 minutes, and then the team will lead us in our closing song. Okay, have courage. Have courage. If you need to do very, very short introductions, do it. But otherwise, get right to prayer. Lord, lead us. Let's go. Let's pray.